Greetings and welcome again to Meditation Moments, and again, that wonderful old time greeting, the Lord bless you. Use your life and make you a blessing. On our recent tour, when we were speaking in different groups, we had the privilege also of speaking to the Teen Challenge group, both in San Francisco and in Dallas. And it was there and elsewhere that we heard a number of times the following statement. That is about some boy or girl who is a delinquent. It was made in reference to them that had been some kind of serious trouble or in trouble with the law. And I heard folks say, well, he was always such a good boy. He never gave any trouble. He was getting along in school. He went to Sunday school some of the time. Just this last week, the same thing happened here in the Los Angeles area in California. A boy only 16, for no reason whatsoever, climbed a hill and leveled his rifle on passing motorists, carefully aiming at each one. Three were killed and a number were wounded. Then the papers came out with a statement of his parents, and they said, we never had any trouble with Michael. He was a good, quiet boy, and he went to Sunday school, and we can't understand how this happened. But you know, one's left with the thought that this is perhaps not a Christian boy that was brought up in a Sunday school, but just perhaps someone that attended once in a while. One in case in which the news media inferred that the boy was a Christian boy and constantly went to Sunday school, a boy that had committed an atrocious crime. But I became interested and found out afterwards that the boy had joined a social club in the church, but he had never been a committed Christian. He had never really known the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course was never a born-again child of God. Now, in the case of Michael Clark, he had given no trouble at home, was a junior in high school, a fairly good student. He had a nice home and fine parents. Yet one night he disappeared, took his mother's car, $100, and his rifle, and only 150 miles from home he wrecked the car. Then he fled to a nearby hill and without any cause at all began to level that gun on motorists. Right below on the highway, he was killing them. And then when the police closed in on him, he turned the gun on himself and took his own life. Tragic. Yes, but I want to bring this little lesson out of it. Now, over and over again, I've heard people asking, how could a boy of that type do such a thing? How? Well, you know, God says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That's the human heart. Without the Lord Jesus Christ reigning in it, and if the Lord isn't Lord over the life, that heart is just that way and will stay that way. There are no words to express the difference between a life that is outwardly what the world calls good, good and circumspect, as this was said of this one, and a born-again Christian life filled with the Spirit of God and led by God's Spirit and walking in fellowship with God. There's all the difference in the world between those two lives, no matter how good that person seemed to be. God's Word says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's one thing to be shown in Sunday school or church that there is such a light. Quite another thing to step out in that light and walk in that light in obedience to God's word. You know, given adequate temptation and adequate opportunity and adequate power of the devil brought to bear on a life, the human heart that's so wicked, without Christ's help by a person is capable of doing most anything. You know, we're living in days when demon power is rampant. Oh, all over this old world, and they're attacking and tempting on every hand. We also have an abundance of dainty, polite preachers who do not think that such things should ever be mentioned in refined circles. But the Word of God doesn't fail to say a lot about it, to mention it in many places, and states quite clearly that the Christian life is a warfare against principalities and powers. And Satan knows that his power is threatened by God's power. And that when God's power is manifested in the life of a true child of God, that he has to contend fiercely against that child of God. He does try to break down that life and that faith. You know, it's wonderful to know that though we are in a warfare, yet we are in a victorious warfare, for Jesus Christ won that victory on Calvary. And that's why it's called the good fight of faith. We are in a fight, but it's a good fight of faith because our captain has won and we're on the winning side. You notice the scripture in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you just let a boy or girl, no matter how good they are, let them be tempted, and by human estimates I say they're good. Remember, I'm talking about the human heart. Let them come up against this warfare without the weapons that God has provided, and without the armor that God's word speaks of in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, to put on the whole armor of God, and they'll be helpless in this battle against Satan and the demons of hell. But you know, the wonderful part about it is that everyone has a chance to have that armor. The real Christian has been given all the armor and the weapons to war with, mighty weapons of faith. And the most powerful weapon in all the world, prayer. And then all the promises of God to back it up and strengthen and empower and to give that victory. Oh, thank God for that verse of scripture that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say it over and over again when you're tempted and when you think about these verses of scripture about Satan coming in like a flood. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. God's word says, he always causes us to triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he always giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Satan cannot overcome the child of God that has yielded his life fully to the Lord. He cannot do it. He has no power against him if he's a fully yielded, dedicated Christian, because his life is hid with Christ in God. The word tells us so in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And God has promised that there's no temptations over you that has overtaken you, but you will, with that temptation, be able to make a way of escape. Oh, that's where it's so wonderful to be a Christian. You don't fight with human weapons. You don't go out in your own strength. That's where Christianity makes its victorious contribution, by giving you a marvelous ally who comes to your rescue in every time of temptation. God's word says, and I repeat again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Oh, there's where the Christian has this mighty advantage over the unsaved person. They may be just as weak in the natural. They may have just as evil tendencies in the natural. But when they're fully yielded to God, when they've turned their life over to him and God orders that life and have divine guidance and they walk in his Spirit, then God's there to help, and he does come just as he promised. He does come in. He does do for you what you could not do yourself, no matter how hard you struggle. Oh, when you come to the very end of yourself and stand before him helpless, confessing that your every human effort has failed, that's just when he comes to your aid and gives you the strength and takes you through. Oh, isn't it wonderful when you think that we have such an ally as that, that the Lord is ready to help us at any time, anywhere, under any temptation. He's going to make a way of escape. This wonderful secret of Christ in you, the hope of glory, has been such a blessing to me so many times. May God reveal it to you in all its fullness. And there it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory, no longer the disappointing failures. After you, even you grit your teeth and clench your fist and your determination, your self-effort, and your self-confidence that you're not going to do certain things or that you will live such a life by sheer force of your strong will, but then you have to simply and humbly confess that you fail. Then you have to let Christ himself come and abide. And then when he comes in, he does this and he says that, he gives the victory. Amen. God bless you. He's still on the throne and prayer changes things.